In the name of Jesus. Epiphany. The Gentiles' Christmas. Epiphany means, comes from the word that means appearing, as in the appearing of a king or the appearing of a god. Jesus is revealed to be not only Israel's Messiah and King, but also the world's Messiah and King. Nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. The feast of Christmas is over, and yet it has only begun. God has let the word out because he can't keep a secret. He sends a star to the eastern stargazers to tell the good news that the world king has been born in Bethlehem. Angels announce the news to the shepherds in Bethlehem's fields, but God shapes his message in a different way for Gentiles. A star, something visible in the skies over the eastern lands. And here a marvelous reversal takes place. Israel once went into exile in the east, and now astrologers come from the east, seeking Israel's king. A multitude of camels shall cover you. Young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. So said the prophet Isaiah. As the queen of Sheba once visited Israel's king Solomon bearing her gifts, so now the magi come with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to pay homage to the little Christ child who is king of all kings and lord of all lords. Herod, of course, would have none of this. Herod was an Idumean, an Edomite, a son of Esau. Hardly a proper king of the Jews, as he proclaimed himself to be, but instead a murderous impostor, a tyrant. He tried to buy the people's affection with political pork projects, as insecure politicians are prone to do. Buy the people off. They'll love you. He renovated the temple. But everybody knew that dirty little secret that Herod was hardly a king, much less a Jew. Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? The Magi asked King Herod. They thought that Herod had had a son, and they wanted to welcome the little king into the world. Herod looked around and said, no son born here. Herod's sons were an endangered species under Herod's rule, and Herod was deeply troubled at their question, and so was all of Jerusalem. Something fishy was going on here. A king of the Jews had been born, and these pagan astrologers seemed to be in on the news before it even makes the headlines in Jerusalem. And isn't that the way it goes? Outsiders sometimes have a bigger clue as to what God is doing than the insiders do. Leave it to God to work in this underhanded, subversive way. Herod has no clue about the true king of the Jews. And so he has to call in the chief priests and the scribes of the people. He might have been king of the Jews, but obviously he never went to synagogue or Bible class. So they have to tell him from the prophet Micah that the Messiah king was to be born in Bethlehem, that little suburb of Jerusalem. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. That's where Messiah was to be born. Bethlehem, the birthplace of David, the shepherd king of Israel, the burial place of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin's mother, the place where the lambs were raised for slaughter in the temple. Bethlehem, whose name means house of bread, and so it is in Bethlehem, Judah's house of bread, that the bread of life is born, living bread, come down from heaven. King David's promised son, the good shepherd, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world with his dying, Bethlehem finds its ultimate purpose in Jesus. The Word and the star are the guides. God reaches out. God has to reach out because we have no idea where to look. He wants the whole world to know about his son. He wants the whole world to come and worship his son. He gives the Magi signs to follow, a star in the eastern sky. He gives them the prophetic word, and through word and star they come to Jesus, a little child, perhaps one, no more than 2 years old, a toddler hiding behind the skirts of his mother. There is an oddity in the text of Matthew, perhaps you notice it. Did you notice how the child comes first? The child comes before his mother, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. The child comes before his mother. This isn't the usual order in a culture where children were considered nothing, but this is no ordinary child. He is the promised child, God's child, the world's child. And the world represented by these wise men have come to see for themselves what God has given the world. They fall down on their faces and they worship him. They worship a little kid. Like that one back there. Good little effect. They worship a little kid. Shepherds knelt before an infant in a manger. Magi bow in homage before a little child. He didn't look much like a king, and his mother certainly didn't look royal. There was no halo shining around his head. He looked no different than any other toddler in Bethlehem. And yet through the word and God's star, God opened their eyes, making them wise beyond their wisdom, revealing the marvelous mystery that this child was the king of all kings, a king unlike any other. And in faith, then, they opened their treasure boxes, gifts of gold and incense and myrrh, costly gifts, gifts fit for a king, perhaps tools of their astrologer's trade. In some ways, these gifts are even prophetic, though I doubt they intended it that way. You know how it is, you give a gift and it's received in a way you didn't intend. This is an example here. Gold for Jesus' kingship, gold fitting a king. Incense for his divinity. You offered incense to your God. Here is your God, this little child. Myrrh for his suffering and death. Myrrh, the burial ointment. It's odd when you think about it. At Christmas, we give gifts to each other. But at this first Christmas of the Gentiles, they brought gifts to Jesus. And then they went home again, these astrologers from the East. They departed to their own country by another way. A way that went around Jerusalem, a way that avoided King Herod, the way of King Jesus. And that's how it is when you encounter this Christ child, or he encounters you. You go back to your life, you go back to your home, you go back to your vocation, your community, your family, by a different way, the way of faith. Faith in the promises of God that extend from Bethlehem to the farthest corners of this planet. So what do we do with Epiphany today? Here, sitting here this morning. What does this story of Herod and the Magi and the child have to do with us? There are a number of touch points, and I'll touch on a few. We are, by our natural birth, to our core, little King Herod. You may not like to think of yourself that way, but you need to recognize it and own up to it. We do not like competing kings in our lives. We want to be king. We want to be in charge, in control, calling all the shots. In fact, we Americans specialize in this. We have no king but ourselves. Majority rules, and we want to make sure the majority agrees with us. We want no one over us. We will bend to no one's rule and no one's way. The news of this child is not welcome news to the old Adam in us. Herod may say he wants to worship Jesus, but the truth is he has other plans. He wants to kill Jesus. He wants to get him out of the way. Oh, I know you wouldn't want to kill Jesus, especially the cute 2-year-old version. I know you wouldn't want to do that. But you might want to get him out of your way. When he interferes with you being the Lord of your life. And therein is the Herod in each of us. Think of how much we bristle and bridle at those commandments. How we bristle at being told what to do. Think of all the ways that we make excuses and justify what we do to anyone who threatens our reign. Oh yes, there's a little Herod in there. The wise men also touch our lives, though. We don't follow stars as they did, and I don't recommend taking up astrology, but we were all led by someone to the Christ child. Someone, a friend, a family member, a parent, someone led us to Christ. The prophet Daniel said this, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." You know, around here when we hear the word star, what do we think of? Celebrity. Celebrities behaving badly. But the stars of God's kingdom are not celebrities. They're mostly no-names. They're those who lead many to righteousness. Those who point the way to the Word and the sacrament. Those who reach out to the seeking and the lost and draw them to the font of baptism, to the altar of Christ's body and blood, to the Word of forgiveness. Those are the stars of the kingdom. And they shine as brightly in the eye of God as any star on the eastern horizon. As the wise men knelt before the lowly Christ child and worshipped him, even though his glory and his divinity were utterly concealed by his two-year-oldness, so we bow down and worship the same Jesus, concealed and revealed for us in his word, in the bread and the cup, in the water of baptism, trusting, as those wise men trusted, that God is true to his word. And in worship we offer our gifts to Jesus, not gold, incense, and myrrh, but money. That's our gold and incense and myrrh. It represents the fruits of our labors. It represents our time, our treasures, our talents. We offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God through that one perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We offer our very best to Jesus, as the wise men did, not to win his favor, not to bribe him, not to cut some sort of deal with him, but because we have been brought to a faith recognition that this humble son of Mary is the Son of God, that he is our King, our Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. And we return home by a different way. No longer the way of this world, but the way of faith, the way of righteousness. The word of Jesus is a living and an active word. Watch out. It does things. It will put you on a new way. It has a killing and a making alive way with us. It justifies us. It sanctifies us. Hearing and believing, we are new people because of that word. Wise men and wise women. That is, wise in the way of faith. This holy Christ child will give you a new path to walk. A new way of seeing yourself. A new way of looking at those around you. A new way of thinking. It's the way of being forgiven, the way of repentance, the way of being embraced by God. And along that way, you will find the fruits that the Spirit works in you through that same word, for God and for those he puts around you. His gifts of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, those are his gifts that he gives to you, and that he works in you. The way of King Jesus doesn't remove us from the world. It doesn't take us out of the world. Instead, it sends us back into the world to shine as stars in this present darkness, reflecting him who is God of God and light of light for all people. Amen.